Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the guest house of Jolly Rogers Studio. Once again, this is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, and I can't believe you wouldn't, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That in our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. So here we are, guys. Welcome once again. The movie in question. Well, let's talk about that. This week, it's going to be the 2014. It's a fresh one.
Fresh one, yeah.
2014. Really? Would you call this a mumblecore film, Gumbo?
I don't know what that even means.
I don't even know what that means.
I heard that word this week. Yeah, mumblecore.
Maybe we should talk about that. Every time I see a Duplass film, I assume it's a mumblecore film. Then I think, well, what is a mumblecore film?
I think it's hipster branding is
what
it is.
All right. Well, how about the hipster branded 2014 film, The One I Love, starring Mark Duplass, Elizabeth Moss, from first-time director Charlie McDowell.
Well, good on you, Charlie.
A little bit of trivia about Charlie McDowell. Should I reveal it now or later? How about later?
Yeah.
Make it a secret.
Yeah. Maybe we can do a segment on
it. Yeah, maybe we can. So that's the film this week, guys. The One I Love. Hipster, what did you call it?
Branding.
Hipster branded, The One. I love that.
Yeah.
I needed help, and you helped me. So if you've seen it, The One I Love. Keep listening. See if you agree or disagree. Or if not, it doesn't matter. Even better. Because for God's sakes, now you can listen to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Max Gumbo?
I think
Johnson?
That's fantastic. I think we should get on with the show.
Let's do this. And let's talk about who the cast is. Let's do some introductions here. I'm Michael, obviously, along with, to my left, James Hard Sub Savage. So hard, so sub, so savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Savage. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. Did you have a good week?
Not bad. A little cold.
A little shrinker out there. I'm glad that the guy sitting next to your left is here.
Yeah.
We could use him on a day like this.
Yeah, he's got some quality outerwear.
Yeah, and that is the patron saint of high quality outerwear. On a day like this, my God, you're a beautiful man.
It's my time.
To shine, yeah. Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Yeah, and here we sit again.
Again.
As always. I love it, though. I love the fact that to your left is Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hello.
Here he is.
Look, I'm right here. I'm cold.
Hello. You are cold, but you're wearing, oh my God. You're wearing a hoodie, but Hoodie is wearing a hoodie.
It's green.
I have a hood on my jacket, too. I'm going to put on two hoods.
No, it's cold. Yeah, it's like record-breaking cold. The coldest day of the year, possibly, this could be.
Well, it's only the 7th.
It's hot in the studio. Well, you know what? I guarantee it. This will be in contention. If we go the entire year, this could be in contention for probably the coldest day of the year.
It might.
It might end up being that.
It might be.
But it's hot in the studio.
I really thought I read tomorrow's supposed to be colder.
You want to know why it's so hot in the studio?
Because I'm here.
No, because the producer's here.
Oh.
Let's introduce him real quick. That's Adam the Bomb Rogers.
It is not I. It is my doppelganger.
It's not really him?
It's not really him.
Well, you know, your hair is just a little different.
So does your doppelganger have some personality? I hope he shows up.
Yeah, he's 20% cooler.
I love that. Adam, you set it up. Max took it away. Hey, I had a good week, though, Savage. You know
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I had a fantastic week. You know, I had a good week. Let's just start into that. You want to tell you why?
Yeah.
I wasn't busted while skinny dipping in someone else's pool. Huh.
Did That's you skinny dip somebody week. Else, or you weren't busted?
I wasn't busted.
Okay.
Well. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I didn't feel guilty for eating bacon, not once.
Not one time,
Woody.
Not once.
Yeah. And Ted Danson did not abuse me or use me for social experiments.
That's always a good thing.
And I can't say that every week.
Oh,
once
really?
In a while, he'll stop by.
It's pretty rare when you get away with that.
Y'all got the same hair.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have a hair off.
Right.
You know, like in Zoolander,
you would win. He has a toupee.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. That disappoints me on such
a
primal
level. That
was like
a huge thing in like the 90s.
That's right. Why would you get a toupee that makes it look like you need a toupee? I could take him.
So it doesn't look obvious?
I could take him with this flowing mane, Max.
Oh, yeah. You win, hands down.
Let's get into the film, guys. Before we do that, let's talk about how to keep up with this. Easy to do. Producer, you know how to do it, don't you?
Yeah, Pornhub.
Yeah, go there. Okay. We're there. You'll certainly see pictures of Adam.
Yeah, don't look up the Q film cast some porn.
Actually, please do. I'm going to have to do that.
I don't want to know what shows up.
Right.
We're talking about Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Google, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, all that.
But why would you do that, Savage, when you can go to the QFilmcast.net? Yeah, that's it. That's one. I say you go there, anything you want there.
Yeah.
You can leave a review of this, any film we talked about. Tell us what you think about the show, whatever. It's all there, QFilmcast.net. Easy enough. Just do it. Everybody's doing it.
Everybody is doing it.
It's the hip thing for 2015.
Yeah, I know.
Hipster branded.
It's hipster branded?
No, we're not. We're not.
Actually, you know, if the show is hipster branded, we should actually go to the site and like get a little graphic of like a little wool hat on top of it with like interesting facial hair and some skinny pants.
Horn rim glasses.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we're getting
long beard.
Let's have a hipster website like that. Turn into a hipster.
You're describing Matt.
No, he's not.
I don't have horn rim glasses.
On.
You know, if we were real hipsters, we'd give every movie a one. This was just preposterous Hollywood tripe like everything else they've pumped out the last 45 years.
Now give me my latte and a granola bar.
Right.
And my iPad. Down with the corporation.
All right, let's get into it. The one I love. Nicely done, Max. Yeah. The one I love. Oh, my God. The irony queued up by the one I love.
Yeah.
Oh.
Matthew St. Hoodie. This is your selection.
It is. It's me.
Let's talk about it. You said last week, I want to talk about the one I love.
That's how I
said it. As you looked over at Max and broke my heart because you didn't look at me.
I'm looking. Where am I looking now? Where are my eyes resting now?
I'm afraid to look back into them.
You can't. It's so intense.
I'm locked in. But the one I love, written by Justin Ladder?
Larder?
I put Ladder. I don't know. Directed by Charlie McDowell. Talk about why you wanted to talk about this.
I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion, to be honest with you.
Had you seen it before this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
There's some things to chew on.
It's weird. I like the flow of the movie. I like that when my brain asked a question, it was right on top of that with the answer. I thought that was great pacing. Really, really good storytelling, I thought.
Okay, well, you're getting into it a bit early. I like that. You're setting the tone.
Okay.
No, I like that because I may get there with you. We'll talk about that. I say this is directed by Charlie McDowell. You know who that is?
I don't.
You know this.
Andy McDowell's kid?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
No, not Andy McDowell's kid.
Is it Malcolm McDowell?
He fooled me. Oh, yeah, it's Andy McDowell's kid. Wait a second.
Roddy McDowell's kid?
No, it's
Chris McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell and Mary Steenburgen's kid.
Of course. That's what I meant to say.
But to put a twist onto that hoodie, that is Ted Danson's stepson because now he's married to Mary Steenburgen.
That's right.
Do you see what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a little nepotism is what it is.
Getting a little creepy. Right.
Now do you understand why Ted Danson's in this film?
Somebody used Mama's money.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Somebody worked for scale.
And even Mary Steenburgen did some of the voices on the phone.
Oh, that's right. She did, yeah. Well, thanks for the trivia. No, we have some trivia. That is definitely part of the trivia. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about who's in this film. Basically, just three people. Elizabeth Moss, Mark Duplass, and Ted Danson.
Pretty much.
What do you know about these people? Savage, what do you know about these people?
Ted Danson, cheers.
Good.
And then Mark Duplass, it seems like this is kind of his thing.
They're all TV actors, we'll say that.
Mark Duplass isn't a TV actor.
Yeah, he's in the League.
The League.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen
it. How do you like
that? Cheers, League, Mad Men. That's how you need to say
it. I always think of the puffy chair.
Oh, I kind of like that film.
I didn't love it, but I just think of that. And, of course, recently when we hashed out this show, the early years.
Yeah, Safety Not Guaranteed.
Safety Not Guaranteed.
Mm.
Yeah, he's good.
What else was there?
He's in a lot of stuff.
Like this stuff.
Yeah, this kind of stuff, kind of indie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Moss, Mad Men. Mm-hmm. She has a cool look about her.
She's great.
Yeah. Selected by Matthew St. Hoodie once again. Inspires a top three, as they all do. I like this one. I'm just going to say a top three doppelgangers.
Doppelgangers.
What if people don't know what a doppelganger is?
Then they need to look it up.
Look it up. Google is your friend.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
Just turn on Siri and play doppelganger.
I like saying that word, doppelganger.
I like spelling it, but I can't.
D-O-P-P-L-G-A-N-G-E-R?
No, you got to put umlauts. I like words with umlauts on it.
Umlauts.
That's what I'm saying.
Has it got an umlaut on it?
Yeah, on
it
the
should.
O.
Hmm. Well, it's German.
Let's get into it. Let's talk about what the critics thought of this film.
Sure.
Producer, you ready?
Sure.
I see that you're not looking at it, so I'm going to ask you this week, producer. I'm going to drag you into this conversation. IMDb, something point something, without cheating. What do you think they gave the film?
He just cheated.
The one I love. You.
I did not pull it up, but I did look at it earlier, 7.1.
Okay, that was boring, anticlimactic. I was going to shake it up. Okay, I'll never ask you again. Right. I'll ask Savage, though.
Right.
Watch him get this wrong.
Right.
What did Rotten Tomatoes, critics-wise,
okay,
give this film?
77.
It's still a percentage. That's very nice. Close, 80% from the critics.
All
right. Wow. Yeah, you can dig on that.
All right.
Max Gumbo Johnson. We're talking about users on Rotten Tomatoes.
Users on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics gave it 80, I'd say 73%.
Ooh, good. Not good enough, Max. We're talking about 79%.
Oh, whoa. Underbid. We're all underbid.
Surprised.
7.1 on IMDb. And
I got it right.
80% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah, a little bit of love for it.
A little bit.
A little bit of love for the one I love. Sometimes I wonder how accurate these things are.
Not very.
I mean, all the fans are going to come up. You just need to do a sampling of the people coming out of the theater. Doesn't matter, but a lot of people seem to like this thing. Let's talk about what it is. The One I Love from first-time director Charlie McDowell is a refreshing and inventive take on monogamy, love, and expectations. One that turns the idea of the romantic comedy on its head. You agree, Hoodie?
Yep.
On its head?
On its head.
Absolutely. Upside down and on its head. In the movie, we see Ethan and Sophie, played by Mark Duplass and Elizabeth Moss, where they escape to the country retreat on the advice of their counselor, marriage counselor, played by Ted Danson, to save their ailing union. But when an unexpected and unexplainable discovery presents itself, what begins as a quiet opportunity to reconnect morphs into a surreal head trip, one that forces the two to examine themselves, their relationship, and their future in an impossibly unique way.
Sounds heavy.
That does sound heavy. Basically, it's a surreal trip head trip movie about two people trying to save their marriage. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
It's good. Yeah. I like that.
Much sounds better. Like life.
Actually, Max, I think from now on you should do like a little wrap up to the thing. I don't know.
We're going back to that. Yeah, are we doing
possibly.
That again?
I like the way this one kind of breezed through. But yeah, we're going to get into this film, and it is a head trip movie queued up by Matthew St. Hoodie. So let's take a break here, listen to a trailer, come on back, and get into a little bit of trivia and get into our ratings. So here you go. The One I Love 2014.
So since we're just kind of like dipping our toes in here, I think maybe we shouldn't spend too much time in there the first go around.
Okay. How's a 15 minute sound?
Yeah, I think that's good. Hello?
Whoa, fascinating.
Tell me. Do you understand how insane you sound right now? It's so weird, isn't it?
It's really odd.
It's like a perfect retreat. Just the two of you. I've sent a lot of couples there, and they've all come back. Renewed.
Is it another dimension when you go through the door?
You want to go back.
This is something that we've been talking about, creating a new relationship.
I imagine like horseback riding with a little satchel of wine, you know? Not some weird version of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. We'll make up some ground rules.
Okay, no spying. We'll be honest with each other about what happens in the house.
Sophie? It's like an exercise in trust. Sophie? Are you kidding me?
Sophie, open the door.
Okay, Ethan.
How do you see this playing out?
I'm not leaving.
This entire weekend has been one planned trap.
Sophie, stop!
Cheers.
Cheers.
To a perfect weekend together. We also had a fantastic time when we did ecstasy, but we're not going to do that every day of our lives because you die.
Right.
Okay, so there you go. Q Filmcast talking about The One I Love 2014 from writer-director. Actually, just director. Just Charlie director. McDowell. Sorry about that. Let's get into a little bit of trivia on this thing. There's a few things out there. Not a whole much, but I have a few things I want to touch on. Savage, did you know that in the movie... Ethan, who's played by Mark Duplass, the main character.
Yes.
Did you know that when he's browsing the computer late in the film, you remember the scene?
Yeah, I do.
He discovers a number of folders.
Yep.
Ooh. Each bearing the names of a couple who've visited the retreat. One of them is Ted and Mary. What do you think that's in reference to?
If I had to guess, I'd say Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen.
Ooh. You made my heart roar with that answer.
Wait, good segue. Good segue.
There's a lot of people have a situation. Stepdad, real mom, right? Yeah, he's one. Yeah. Did you know? Gumbo. Man, did you know that in the therapist's office, several clocks are shown, including a chess clock. All of the clocks and both faces on the clock show a different time.
I didn't notice that.
What do you think it means?
I think Gumbo? It means there are several of these houses set up around the world. Ted Danson is sort of like a phantom. It goes between them, sort of like a black ops agency out to save the marriages of the world.
I think he's making this up. I don't think he really thinks that at all.
This is going to be the shortest episode ever because there's nothing else to say. Right. Nothing else to say.
Nailed it.
I actually have one of the same clocks in my bedroom that he had on his bookshelf.
You have way too much reference for
this.
Did
you get it from Mark or Elizabeth?
Got it from my mom.
She knows them?
Maybe.
She may be them.
She could be. Could be a doppelganger. Who knows? Yeah. Did you know? Hoodie, did you know that on the cover for the film, the two main characters are standing chest high in a pool of water? But in the water's reflection, Mark Duplass's character isn't wearing glasses.
I never noticed.
If you look at the box, the reflection is their doppelgangers.
Whoa.
Mind blown.
Of course it's blown. Of course it is. Because that's a mind-blowing fact. Did you know that Elizabeth Moss, this actually did blow my mind. You didn't know that Elizabeth Moth was previous, what I call it, Elizabeth Moth.
Yeah.
Miss Moss was previously married to SNL cast member Fred Armisen.
No.
Oh, he dumped her.
Did not know that.
They were married, she dumped him.
They were married from 2009 to 2011. Maybe she didn't like his Barack impersonation.
Maybe she didn't want to live in Oregon.
That's right. Yeah. I say SNL, but actually it's the
Portlandia.
Yeah. He's kind of
worst
a funny
tour
dude.
Ever.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
So good stuff. But let's talk about the currency, okay? Because we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down, Max.
No, that's so stupid.
We didn't accentuate this last episode, but it's stupid.
It's stupid.
It's insulting and stupid. Let's talk about what we're going to use. I can't remember. Oh yeah. Hoodie, reveal. What are we going to use instead of thumbs up, thumbs down, or stars?
I think we went with nesting eggs.
Yeah, balls. We did.
My bad.
Got eggs.
I always
brain,
screw
man.
That up.
They call them eggs. They're actually called nesting eggs.
Have you ever tried to break four eggs?
Only when I'm wearing my shirt. Inside Q joke, and boy, is it good. We're going to put that as bonus material.
There you go.
No.
It's got to go up.
Did you see how desperate his no was? No. Please.
That makes it an automatic yes.
Producer, we're taking that global, but let's get into the ratings. nesting dolls
nesting
talking
dolls,
about
yeah.
2014's the one I love. Hoodie, we always go to the person that queued it up. That's you, you know.
That's me.
Yeah.
Two.
So I want you to reveal with much gusto from underneath your hoodie your rating of this film. What you gonna go with?
I'm between a 6 and an 8.
So you're a 7.
Yeah, that's a 7. What are you talking about?
I'm going to go with an 8 for now.
Right. Okay, you can get up there with
yeah,
an 8.
You could
come down.
Yeah, I don't know. What did I say, 8? I'll stick it.
I'm between a 6 and an 8. I don't know what you'd call
that. Between a 1 and a 10.
It's not a 7. It's not called a 7.
But you're going to go with 8 and see if you can work your way down. So you're going to go with 8, and you're going to stand your ground or either work your way down.
I'll start high and then taper off at the end.
Okay. All right, Max, let's go over to you. We're talking about the one I love. So you tell me, what you're going to give this film?
Right now I'm at a 7. 7 nesting dolls on this.
Ooh, 7 nesting dolls. Ooh, mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Okay, so you a little bit of respect for it, apparently.
Got a lot of respect for it, just I'm not sure how much I loved it.
Okay, good idea. Good way to go. Savage, you know the routine, you know the film, the one I love. What you going to go with?
Yeah, I'm with Max and really with Hoodie. I'm going with a 7 as well. I mean, I liked it in spite of myself, but it does have some problems, but so
okay.
7.
Okay, 7. All right. Producer, I'll round it out, so that means you go next. What are you going to give 2014's The One I Love?
5.
Nailed it.
Knew it.
Right there. Okay, well, we'll let you stand your ground on that. We may come with some common ideas on this one.
Right.
Who knows, but I'll go ahead and end this one. I'm between a 6 and a 7.
Not a 6 and an 8?
Not a 6 and an 8. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and give Adam just a slight amount of backup. I think I could probably get to a 7 if you guys can straighten some things out to me. I'm going to go 6 for now.
All right.
There's some real strong stuff here. Matter of fact, let me just tell you real quickly, and then I'll let you guys kind of get into your reviews. Let me just knock this out. The reason I'm kind of between things, I enjoyed watching it. Actually, twice. I watched it hard, man, 2 times straight up. I liked it much more the second time. I was so curious the first time. I thought, I got to get back in this thing. I just, kind of like you say, I wasn't captured by it. I liked the pieces. I thought it was interesting. Pretty amusing, you know. But I felt it was desperate a bit. Like it was running on fumes a lot of times, you know. It was like it had that feeling it was trying to stretch itself out.
Yeah, toward the end.
It's like, man, it really feels like you guys are really trying to stretch this out to make a 2-hour movie. The pace is what kind of brought me down just a bit. Because I love the characters. And I think Moss and Duplass were great.
Yeah.
I really liked their chemistry. It left me with the idea that I wanted to see them in other things. To me, that's the best part. It was really just the chemistry. But in the end, as much as I enjoyed the pieces, which really are, you know, those two.
Basically, yeah.
It just felt slightly empty at times. I think it was a pacing problem. Yeah. It's almost like it needed something else. Maybe another character in there. Someone to play against them. It was almost too much of just what I liked. I wanted to be taken out of that a bit and shown some other things. Like maybe a neighbor or someone that would come in and...
Peek over the fence, but you couldn't see his whole face.
Yeah. I'm so with there.
Yeah, I wanted the guy from a Home Improvement movie. Or maybe some more Ted Danson. Hmm? It just felt like it was... wasn't quite hashed out. Could have used a better rewrite, I think. But I did like the movie, so maybe I can get to 7.
Maybe.
You kind of see what I'm saying a bit?
Mm. I see what you're saying,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you got, Max? Let's go over to you real quick.
Me?
Yeah, follow it up just a bit. I'm sorry.
I'll go. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. The second time I watched it, I was like, it seemed like there was some padding there. It seemed like there was either some padding or there was something, there was an element missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea. Mm-hmm. I thought that was... That was great. I thought that was fantastic. I say fantastic a lot. I need to stop that.
Well, it's fantastic.
But it was good. I really, really did enjoy that idea and what you could do as far as play with those characters in that world and in that situation. I didn't think there was enough reaction to the situation.
Yeah.
I didn't think they really... I think if I was in that situation, I'd be like, what is going on here? I'd really be digging to find out what's going on. I think they covered that some in the movie. I would have liked to have seen a little more of that. And I'm not against vague ideas in films,
right.
But the whole Ted Danson thing, I was like, okay, did I miss something?
Yeah,
something's missing there.
Yeah,
I wanted some sort of an explanation. Like
I wanted to see him again.
You don't have to spell it out for me, but give me something to maybe help me figure it out. Sure. Something. Maybe they did, and I just completely glossed over
it.
Didn't see
it. No, they didn't.
Maybe I'm not. Yeah. I hope I'm not the only one. I thought he sort of explained it maybe with the gorilla story at the end. Not the end of the poker game.
Aardvark, too.
And Aardvark, yeah. Overall, I liked it. I did enjoy it, but mostly for the performances. I thought Duplass and Moss did great playing two different versions of themselves.
They were just fun on screen. Yeah, just fun to look at.
I thought he did way, way, not way, way better, but he did a really,
it was
really
like two
good
different
job.
People.
He was.
It was the best thing I've seen him in. I've seen him in several things.
Oh, yeah.
I liked him here a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he did a better job than Moss, who did a fantastic job as well, but there wasn't enough differences between.
Yeah, exactly.
Her and her.
His character was written better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have been maybe more Stepford wife-ish or something, you know?
She was going, I mean, they were going to try to make that, but yeah, I think they could have pushed a little further, but then it might have gotten just stupid.
I just felt like it needed one more character in there, just a little bit richer script somehow. But I'm with you, Max. I like the concept and especially the performances. Hody, what do you got? It's your film, man. You queued it up. You went up there, I think, to 8. No, 7. You were between 7, 6 and 8.
6 and 8, yeah.
7,
it's between
yeah.
Between a 6 and an 8, but it's not
a 7.
Not there.
Go ahead.
You're an 8 right now.
And this is you. This is the real you, right?
Who?
Okay.
Anyway, you're talking about pacing and the idea, but not being... I think that they pretty much explored the whole idea. All the questions that I was having and thinking how would I react in this situation, I think they pretty much covered all that. To me, they did. I thought that was one of my favorite parts of it. When, like I said, when I had a question, literally the next scene was them answering that question, which, you know, pushed the story to my next question, which they then answered, which goes to pacing. And I thought the pacing was pretty good in this one. You're saying that it kind of slacked off a little bit at the end, that they were just kind of padding. I didn't see that at all. I thought the pacing was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the characters were just like a cherry on top. Okay. The characters were great, especially Mark Duplass.
Yeah, I'm with you on Duplass. We'll delve into maybe why we felt that way in particular when we get into some of the scenes that kind of examine some of that.
Okay.
Kind of bring it to the, you know, why I felt that way. But I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tongue-tied.
Yeah.
Savage is what I was going to say. Going over to you.
Yeah, no, I like it for all the same reasons. And this is on the surface of the type of movie that I shy away from. I don't like these quirky indie romance things, you know, where they're a little too hip, a little too clever, the dialogue's a little too just everything's a little too much. And I don't like these type of movies. But I found myself charmed by this, and I thought that the idea was incredibly original. Once you know the reveal of what the idea is, I thought it was incredibly original. Mm-hmm. And the way they handled it, I liked at first, where they're like, once they figured out what was going on, they're like, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Screw this. Yeah. But then it's like, well, what if we explore? And I like that going back, and then just, you know, the audacity to explore. And then it turns into this surreal kind of environment, you know, this alternate dimension kind of existence that they're dealing with, which really deftly deals with ideas of love and trust and fidelity and relationships. And it handles all of these really complicated ideas really neatly by using themselves against themselves
or
for themselves. And I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
The problem is I think, and this is where it happens, is that the gimmick starts to fall apart
just a bit. Yeah.
And it loses clarity. And we discussed this with the movie, I think Snowpiercer, where it doesn't continue to follow its own rules of the universe it establishes, you know, because when they first figure out what's going on, where they each go in real quick after succession, the bacon's gone, the smell's gone,
he's there,
she's there. And it's like, later, that doesn't work. It's like, well, you've done broke your own rules.
I felt that. I actually thought that too. Yeah, I did.
You can't get rid of the smell of bacon.
No, but then you're causing confusion for the audience.
I think that's the point. I think that's why they did it.
Well, I mean, and you can say that, and if that's what it is, if that's a choice, then okay. But I think that confuses an audience.
Yeah, that's the point.
Adam, what was the point of you giving this film a 5? You went down there just a bit. You didn't seem to like this film. Why?
Okay, I use this movie as a date movie. Brought a girl over. Jeez. I'm like, okay, we're going to watch this. I wanted a quirky little comedy, independent thing that, hey, I can impress her.
Wow.
Oppressor? Yeah. Did you say oppressor?
You're going to oppress her?
Impress. Impress.
Okay. Our little Freud there did say impress.
And then, like, noticed 50 minutes within the movie, both of us were on our phones.
That's standard stuff with you.
Right.
So who's more uninteresting, the movie or
you?
Date?
Or the date?
Or you?
Or you?
No, she may be perfect for me.
But I don't see how that, any of that is the movie's fault.
We lost interest in the movie and weren't even interested in doing anything else to playing on our phones because it just...
I understand what it's got
a good idea behind the movie. It's a good premise. It didn't keep our interest. It wasn't funny, but there's a great idea there. It just didn't pan out right.
Yeah, like the broad strokes. They're like, oh, okay, I see. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, it's cool. And then like an hour later, I got it. It's cool. But that's about it, right?
Yeah. I can go more into it. I got a lot of stuff written down.
Were you bored?
He had his phone on him.
Bored.
He was playing Angry Birds. He wasn't bored.
No, he was playing Farmer John or whatever.
But Adam,
trivia crack.
You know, you have to really kind of put the phone away when we watch any movie.
That's true.
You can't do that. Because even if you think
you should really put the phone away if you have a girl over.
Yeah, right.
I would think.
And always keep the phone away while the girl's over, okay?
A little note for future dates. Yeah. Don't whip your phone out. Start playing.
Unless you want to play the Cube Filmcast.
Yeah, that's right. Always. Nothing sets the mood like that.
There's an app for that.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll get into some scenes, Adam. You can demonstrate why you think some of these things fell apart for you. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's... stop here for a second. Let's listen to a piece of the film. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Mark Duplass, Elizabeth Moss. Did I say that?
Yeah.
I keep wanting to call her Moth.
And maybe Ted Danson.
Maybe Ted Danson.
Who's Ted Danson?
He's Danzig's brother. Danzig? Mother!
Here's Elizabeth. Here's the one I love starring Tony Danza. Here, we'll come back in just a minute and tell you what we thought of it.
I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about this, Ethan.
What else can we do? I mean, what are we going to do, you know?
Well, I mean, there's the crazy thing to do, which is...
What?
Which is to, you know, explore it further.
Explore it further?
I know you only had a little bit of it.
Yeah. I was there for like three seconds.
I know, but I had a whole evening in that house. And I have to say, I know I sound like a crazy person right now, but I have to say, it was kind of magical.
Well...
It was...
But don't go overboard with the whole magic of what happened there, because I know what you did in there.
All right, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of magic. There was a rush. It was exciting. I felt happy.
All right, so there it is. Q Filmcast talking about the one I love, 2014. I'm going to call it a mumblecore film. I'm going to keep calling it a mumblecore film.
Right. Play into it.
Whatever that is. Let's talk some more about
scenes. Keep it alive.
Keep the dream flowing, man.
Right.
My dream always begins with you, Savage, so why don't we start over here to my left, and that is you.
Okay.
Let's talk about some scenes. Scenes in this film.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them.
There are a bunch.
I have two pages of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so talk about one.
As two people in a room can do. I mean, so you're really limited, and so it's got to be dialogue heavy. And there was some really neat stuff. And I guess I'll go straight to the dinner party. I thought that was completely weird.
Yeah,
it's just strange. The whole setup was strange, but in a good way. It's you can really tell like the Ethan character was really kind of weirded out by the whole deal.
Yeah.
And the female character was completely not weirded out. And but that goes more to the subtext of what's really going on.
Yeah. And you're talking about the scene where they're playing cards with themselves.
Yeah. At the reveal. And you know, I think by that time, that's where I think where the padding kind of starts, because you've kind of broke your own rule at that point with, you know, each one in the room. I mean, it gets weird. It's a mind trip movie. So you got to be prepared for this. But I really liked the scene. I thought it was surreal and weird, and I really liked it.
I liked him against him.
Yeah.
I mean, they really seemed like two forces at work against each other.
I liked her against her when there was almost a cat fight in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. And I'll keep pretending that I like your hair pinned back like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Right? It seems to me.
That was good.
I really don't see it. Well, you keep saying that they broke their own rules. I don't think that they really broke the rules. And by saying break the rules, you're saying that they both couldn't be in the house at the same time with their doppelganger, right?
Well, maybe break the rules. I don't think that they really even had rules,
I mean,
you know?
I felt like in this mystical place, it was really up to the doppelganger to decide when it would reveal itself. And it so chose. And it was pretty obvious that they were doing it like a big reveal. So I just don't see that the rules were really broken.
Well, I guess
I really
like
that they made that choice and they put him in the same room and pitted him up against each other.
I think ultimately, it seemed to me that it kind of just spiraled into that. It's because it establishes early on that, you know, you could be in or they could be in. If you were in, it wouldn't be there. And if you were in the entire thing, like when that breakfast cleared out, obviously you're dealing with some type of magic or alternate thing going on.
Yep.
If you just want to lump everything, well, it's magic, then it doesn't matter, because then it's just, you know, whatever can happen. But, you know, breakfast doesn't clear out, and then when you walk in two seconds later, it's back. Okay. I mean, that doesn't happen. And then they just disregarded all that. They just disregarded it to have the interplay of the characters, which is fine. But I think it detracted because you started breaking your own rules.
I don't know if that's the sensation I got. I at times didn't know how I was supposed to feel about the scene. Like, for example, when they first discover that there's doppelgangers of themselves in this house.
Right.
I thought, okay, is this going to be a scene where they're trapped in here and it's very real? Real people would be freaked out. But then they go to the diner and they kind of get into, well, let's just go test it. Well, real people wouldn't do that.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Real people be like, honey, get in the car. We're getting the hell out of here, right?
No.
I think that they both kind of had a yin and a yang thing going on, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Elizabeth Moss, Sophie, she was very much like, let's check this out. This is interesting. I like where this is going.
But and she course, also got laid, though.
Well, I mean, yeah. She's the fun one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but DePlask, Ethan, he was very much against it. So I like that they played against each other like that. And then, of course, you have your opposites on the inside. I thought that's a really nice touch.
And I also
a really nice touch.
You know, the content of it's good, too. And you talked a bit about it examining relationships. I thought that was done in a real way. I mean,
it was.
Yeah, because we all have these expectations of the person that we're going to be with being like that all the way through.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, no, wait, you know, what you were in the beginning is not who you are now. And is that realistic to really want that and expect them to be that again?
Yeah. No, I think they handled that very well.
I thought that was really good. And to be honest, that's really what kind of paced it for me in a good way. I liked that the relationship between them and what they were examining came together nice in the story.
Yeah, but it's like Cody said, it was a very yin and yang kind of experience for both of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Max, now, in the beginning, you know, I didn't know what this film was about. And I liked it.
I didn't either.
I plugged it in. I didn't read. I thought, I'm going to watch this cold.
Yeah,
when
she
first goes into the guest house and he's there, I watched it and thought, something didn't seem right. Did I miss a scene where he walked over into the guest?
Yeah.
And I rewound it. And right away, it had that strange feel. I didn't know what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. It felt very odd. And then I realized, oh, that's a different him.
Yeah.
And I thought, this one of these, man. But that really snuck up on me. Did it sneak up on you?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, and she comes to realize later on, oh, yeah, the other you doesn't wear glasses. That was the first thing I picked up on.
Yeah.
No, he's not wearing glasses. And his hair is different.
Yeah.
I don't know what took her so long to pick up on that.
And speaking of how this was kind of shot, like you said, it was kind of weirdly shot. I was almost expect I was I went into this cold like you, but I was expecting kind of like a rom-com, you know.
Yeah.
And then as I'm watching this, I'm like, this might actually turn out to be a horror movie. It's got like this weird vibe happening.
Maybe kind of computer chess kind of thing.
Yeah, it's called Mumble Gore at that point.
And then as the movie played out and things kept getting weirder and weirder and you saw Ethan getting, you know, more and more disrupted and paranoid, I was like, somebody's going to die. This is going to be like a murder story. He's actually going to kill somebody.
I was waiting for it and kind of disappointed it didn't become that.
So, I mean, to take that to the end, I thought the end was a little bit predictable, but not really.
Not really for me.
Yeah.
I
tell you what, I can't imagine you getting halfway through this film and not sticking around to see how it ends. I mean, it does string you along like that. There's a lot of stuff at play here.
Sure.
What the hell is this, mostly?
Yeah.
What about you, producer? We're talking about things that we liked about the film. Apparently, you didn't like much. Is there anything that you really did like?
Half and half of it.
Well, what about the first half? When this becomes a weird movie, did you kind of sit up in your seat like I did and say, oh, this might be a good watch, or were you kind of turned off by it?
I like when they started introducing the doppelgangers. I thought it was a great idea. I liked how they started going with it,
yeah,
going back and forth, but then it didn't go anywhere to me. I was hoping it would go deeper and darker.
Well, they couldn't leave the guest house.
Yeah, man. They were stuck in the guest house.
Yeah, I was hoping for something else. It just never
happened. Murder.
Explosions.
Something. I was hoping some weirdness. I was hoping for, you know.
I wasn't hoping for a complex study of personal relationship and growth and what we see as our ideal self and what we wanted to make. That's not what I wanted to see.
Max, what do you
think? It was a date night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
At the end, it was way predictable at the end.
So when you talk about scenes about these two, because basically the whole movie is between these two, Max, what scenes between these two do you think of? I mean, there's a tic-tac-toe playing scene that's kind of cute upstairs. Then a lot of scenes between her and the old Ethan, the new Ethan. What exchanges really stand out to you in this film?
It's hard to say that there was anything that stuck out as far as a scene. One thing this isn't necessarily a scene, it's just one thing I noticed. When y'all were talking about the yin and the yang of the personalities, I mean, it's obvious that the doppelganger in the house is their idealized version of their husband or of their wife or whatever. Yeah.
But it's almost their opposite, too.
Well, the Ethan is.
Yeah,
it's
well,
the beginning
she is
of
too.
The relationship. I
mean, she's not.
Yeah, the real Sophie is the more open-minded on the outside. On the inside, she's very much so subservient to him.
I didn't like the new Sophie.
The only thing he wanted different in Sophie number two was that she let him eat bacon. That's all I could see. And she was a little more timid.
And she was more of a Stepford wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. But she wasn't that much different than the other Sophie. Ethan, too, was like almost a total opposite.
Right.
He seemed kind of mean-spirited.
So maybe they should have pushed her a little bit more to push that, I guess.
I mean, he was trying to really manipulate her. He painted a picture for her. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He tried to seduce her, kind of like the exercising in front of her, trying to look like somebody he wasn't.
Yeah, but that's what she wanted.
He was a much better developed character.
That was her ideal Ethan.
Right? You know, I think Max is right.
She is right, yeah.
These are incarnations of what they thought they wanted.
No, it's not what they thought they wanted. It is what they want.
Oh,
she wanted the fresh, the new relationship, and he wanted the more standard relationship.
No, wrong. She wanted Ethan number two. She wanted Ethan number one to be more like Ethan number two.
Right.
Ethan
right.
number two was her ideal Ethan. Ethan number one was the real Ethan.
Yeah, which takes me to my scene, which is when she actually had sex with her real Ethan.
And, yeah.
But she was cheating.
Yeah.
And that was great.
My emotions
were great.
Just in a knot. I had no idea how to feel.
That was my favorite
part. It was
really
messed up that he did that, but he kind of was in the right, but not really.
Yeah, it was real muddled like that, and I liked that part.
Yeah, that's what.
At the same time, it was messed up that she did it after she said she wouldn't.
Right.
Well, I mean, he said he wouldn't either, and he never did.
But she's only sleeping with an ideal version of him. Is that wrong? Yeah.
He never slept with the new Sophie, did he?
No.
So what's that say here? Because she was all about it, and he didn't ever touch it.
Yeah.
He seemed to be a little bit more leery, this whole thing.
Right. Well, no, because he knew that was not his wife. He was not interested in her at all. I mean, his ideal relationship was with Sophie,
his real one.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what the theme of this is. Absolutely. Is that it's the concept of falling in love with what you were as opposed to being in love with what you are.
Yeah. Okay, if Sophie was his ideal choice, why did he cheat on her?
Why do men cheat, man? It's because it's in our DNA, man. Go forth and conquer, spread the seed, whatever.
Ladies,
you know?
This is James.
Okay, you know? But the end of the movie, when turns out that he's with the wrong one,
right?
And she's like, "Oh, I'm making some bacon." He kind of goes,
"Yeah,
Okay.
I'm not hating bacon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he did a total flip in the last 30 seconds of the movie, mm-hmm. which I think all of us probably would do. If I have, like, the real you with all the problems and the things and disappointments that we had gone through, and then I have my ideal version of you, which one am I going to pick? The choice is obvious.
Yeah.
Even if I know that this one's the real one and this is the fake one,
right?
It still gets really...
Yeah.
But he also know that the real one chose to stay there.
So we think.
At that moment, he knew that the real one had chose to stay there.
Right, but now mm-hmm. he has bacon. And by bacon, I mean bacon and he's Sophie. Got the better, he's got what he wants more so. You know
All
what
right.
I mean?
What did I get from the ending? Help me out with this. In the end, he's upstairs. You think everything's fine. They escape the guest house. They're back together again. He doesn't look like he's so sure he's with the right one.
Not when she said bacon.
And when she said bacon, he's like, oh, man, maybe I've been duped. Maybe she did run off with the new Ethan.
But look how happy he was before that. They were laying in bed. It was like old times, right?
Mm-hmm. Just someone explain the ending to me, please, damn it.
That's how I got it.
That's what I took out of it.
It's ambiguous.
I took that he was duped. He's rid the wrong one.
He was duped, and then he realizes he was duped, and he says, maybe it's not so bad that I just got duped.
Or maybe he goes downstairs and kills her.
Or
maybe we should have seen the second one.
Or maybe his Sophie decides that it's okay for him to have bacon.
No.
Why not? Because Sophie number two said that she was desperately in love with Ethan number two. She wouldn't have left him. So maybe the real Sophie says, hey, bacon ain't so bad.
But Ethan two, have some bacon. Ethan two wanted to leave with Sophie one.
Ethan 2 just wanted to get out.
Ethan 2 wanted to escape.
I know, but he wanted to take Sophie. He wanted to go with Sophie one. He was trying to convince Sophie one to get him out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when...
It's weird.
I don't know why I wanted to talk about this. How do we talk about
this? At the end, when he picks the wrong Sophie, which we don't know.
Exactly. It's ambiguous.
Sophie number one doesn't say a word.
Nope.
She just says, oh, well, I guess I'll stay here with Ethan number two.
I took it as he ended up with Sophie number two and didn't realize it.
Right.
But
not until that moment.
Yeah,
I did.
Until the moment.
Of course.
He did. Yeah. He did at the end.
But every man loves a steak and sandwich.
Well, here's a question. Why do y'all think? Who do y'all think Ethan and Sophie two are?
Yeah. What is this? Are they robots? They have to be robots.
They're not robots. They're replaced.
They have to be robots.
Well, in Ted Danson's little file, he's tweaking the voice, almost like he's working on something mechanical.
Yeah.
You remember that?
They said it was the people who were there before. Yeah. They had to be morphed into the new.
I didn't get any of that.
But do you remember the scene where he's listening? He's going, okay, we're going to tweak it a little bit more. Right. I'm Sophie. And he got the voice just right.
Well, my question with that, why would they leave the computer there with the files accessible to him?
Exactly.
I mean, that's got to be a setup. It's like, we know these people are going to look at this computer and they're going to pick on these files and they're going to listen to them.
That Ted Danson's a bastard.
Well, that means the whole weekend was a setup and that they would have been confronted, which means they didn't break the rules.
And then when you saw Ted Danson's office and it was just completely abandoned, nobody was there, and where was he? Where'd the guy go? He just ran off.
What did you guys think of the beginning? It sets the idea of the film.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, well, we met in the first night we ran away and we skinny dipped in this pool.
I love that.
And we almost got caught and we're going to recreate it. We're going to go back. It's going to be just the same. And then it wasn't. No one was home at the house.
Yeah.
So that's how the scene opens up. They're trying to recreate this moment.
It's hope and tragedy in the same scene. Right?
Okay. I like that and I sense that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's powerful. I don't like the gimmick of the therapist as the fourth wall, but it was beautiful, beautiful scene. You know, the hope and the joy of recapturing the new and then the slow realization that it's not that. And it turns to kind of a despairing tragedy.
Well, yeah, that's while the credits come up or the words, the one I love, it shows them kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I like that.
But
I didn't know it was going to be what it was. I thought it was going to be a full on romantic comedy at that point.
Me too.
So, nice turn for the film. There was no
comedy in this.
I liked throughout the whole thing where these little things kept happening. Like, those clothes I packed aren't here. It's like, okay, I guess that dude took them. And then,
they're able to get out.
He puts the phone up there and she goes, oh, by the way, here, find your cell phone. He's got nothing but static on it.
That was weird.
And that's what I'm talking about, the questions that I kept like, okay, so try this. And they kept popping that in.
Well, I'm assuming that all the voicemails were left from calls Ethan 2 made.
Yeah.
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 But the whole thing goes back to what exactly was the whole setup here.
Yeah.
That's kind of left really open-ended.
I know they're robots. I know they're robots.
They couldn't be robots.
They're not robots.
They could be like the Terminator. Human flesh covered metal endoskeleton.
That's the way everybody feels about their spouse, Max.
It's the couple from the original.
No, it's magic. It's an altered dimension. It's magic. The breakfast thing, if it was just the people, it would be one thing. It's the breakfast thing.
Ted Danson is Merlin. He sets all this up.
Basically.
That's exactly right. He's the wizard.
Yeah.
I guess.
In stories like this, you have a wizard. Yeah. Good job. A plus.
Savage is wrong because they would not have put that scene in What's where that? He's mechanically tweaking. You can almost feel him working on it with a screwdriver. All right, we're going to get this voice just right. And he's tweaking this thing like it's a robot.
Yeah.
It's not magic.
It doesn't have to be a robot. I mean, I'll Savage, sorry. I never call you Savage.
I know, you never do.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Anyway, Savage. It's just saying that this is mystic. We don't have to know what these things are.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a bold ending, too, that what? Bubble. It's like the bubble.
I loved it. I loved that they didn't cop out on that. I thought for sure that it was going to be the two Ethans that escaped, and then the two Sophies would be trapped, and they'd be, like, screwed that way. But I love, and it's the same thing with Safety Not Guaranteed, how they didn't cop out at the ending of that.
I did like the ending of that film.
And I thought this was very much in that same vein. It's like, all right, we've taken the surreal, and we're going to keep it right till the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that they didn't cop out on that.
Yeah, because in the end, they're trying to run out. And then you realize that I thought, is this just something that they can run away from? It can't be that bold to where they're actually trapped here. And boom, he just runs into this magic bubble. They're trapped in a bubble. Right. Did you like that, Max?
I did like that. But at the same time, I mean, I guess they could only pass through the bubble.
If they're in love.
If they're in contact with someone who came there voluntarily so or something.
No, that's, or if they're number one chose to have them come, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's
go
what ahead. I'm saying.
No, what James said, I think that only love could escape from there.
You mean only love conquers all?
Exactly.
It which does. Is basically what I just said.
Yeah. A lot of weird stuff, man. This
it's
is this,
strange. One.
You know what I'm going to do? Wait a second. Put me up to 7. I like the fact that in the end, I can sit down and talk about this film like this.
Yeah.
Beware, I have to open my crinkle paper.
All right. crinkle.
One last note good I wanted film. To make. Yeah. No, nobody mentioned it. The music in this was great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Very Hitchcockian, I guess you could call it.
That's probably why it was a horror. I'm waiting for somebody to die.
Yeah, I kind of get that sense of brooding, dread. Like something's around the corner and something's not.
I didn't attribute it to the movie or to the music. I attributed it to like the way it was shot, but I think you're absolutely right.
I think the music played a part in that.
Totally you know what it reminded me of? There's one scene where he's walking through the Orange Grove, I guess what you call it, and it reminded me of Punch Drunk Love a little bit. The tink-a-tink-a-tink. You know, I'm talking about a little bit of
the time. Crunching on him.
Yeah, just kind of a weird score.
It reminded
kind
of a weird score of a Hitchcock film.
But it reminded me somehow, Punch Drunk Love a bit. I don't know why.
No,
makes
sense.
It reminded me that I would like to see a scene of this.
Okay. We'll let Adam get the last word on this one. But that's 2014, the one I love, inspires a top three something or other. And this week it is Doppelgangers. So let's take a break here, listen to a piece of the film. Come on back and do that in just a minute.
Let's say you buy a gorilla. Excuse me? Let's say you buy a gorilla, Ethan. You can't buy a gorilla. I know that. It was for the story. But fine. Let's say you buy an aardvark, okay? You take that aardvark, you put him in a dark room. A minute later, you flip that switch. The lights come on. Now, we all know how electricity works. But for him, it's a miracle. Magic happened. That previously dark room is now illuminated with possibilities he's never seen before. And what does he do? Does he ruin it by questioning how or why? No. He enjoys it. Well, I'm not an aardvark.
The Q Filmcast, talking about The One I Love. That's the film you just heard from right there. Inspires our top three doppelgangers. That's people who look like other people. In case you don't know. I went
I'm
and
glad
looked
that
up.
We decided now to define this.
Well, I didn't know this whole time. I was embarrassed to tell you. Well, during that clip, I went out and looked on the Google there.
On the Google.
It said doppelganger. And they said, oh, people look like other people.
When looked up that they are a doppelganger on the Google.
I sounded a little bit like Cliff Clavin there, didn't I, Max? Doppelgangers. That's people who look like other people.
Yeah.
And
here I thought it was sausage.
Yeah. Hoodie, lead it off. You know what the routine is. You're going to give me your top three, and you're going to start with number three, doppelgangers in movies. I want to hear about it, man.
I hate that I have to bring Nick Cage into this, but adaptation.
Oh, of
that's
course.
A great one.
Never saw it.
Oh, so good.
Why do you hate bringing Nick Cage into
it's
it?
It's Nick Cage. I that's the second time I brought him in. So
a little Nick Cage never hurt anybody.
Goes a long way.
Goes a long way.
Can't get enough of that guy. But adaptation, that's Hoffman. Brilliant.
Great.
You want to talk about breaking some rules?
Yeah.
Go watch Adaptation.
Right.
Yeah. That's we might. Show. That's on Netflix, by the way.
We need to
it was for a long time.
That. I love that movie.
Never seen it.
Get out of town.
Never seen it. I'm so sorry. I've never seen it.
I've always
wanted to see it. I know it's gotten by me. I feel terrible.
Things happen.
Maybe the other me seen it. Maybe there's another me out there that's actually seen it.
Probably.
And I can take the night off and I'll send
it.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Max Gumbo Johnson, let's go to you. Number three, based on the, inspired by the film, rather, The One I Love. What is it? Doppelgangers.
Number three, I'm going to have to, I'm still making up my mind. I'm going to have to go Bowfinger for number three.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy. Soon into the top three.
Eddie Murphy. Steve Martin. Love that movie.
Love it.
That's a good answer. Yeah, I like it. Bowfinger.
That's funny the last movie. Good movie he made.
Yeah. I think so.
No, I'm not kidding. I think that's literally the last good movie he made.
Wait till The Crumps come out, part three or something. Who knows? Hang on. Hang in there, man.
Fatties too.
Yeah. James, so hard, so yeah, sub, so yeah. Savage. Number three, Doppelgangers.
Had a real tough time with this. Let me go Army of Darkness, Ash and Bad Ash.
Yay!
Yeah, that's good. That's a doppelganger. I like it.
You could even say Ash and all the little reflections in the ashes.
So that may be my second answer.
Oh, my like bad. It. You can do it like a...
Ash and little ashes.
Right.
Yeah, inside the trilogy of Evil Dead could doppelgangers.
Be. I'm good, Ash.
Adam, you're just... Ash. Yeah. Well, you're a bit of an asshole, but just go ahead and tell me number three right now for you, Adam. What is it?
Donald Sutherland, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Don't recall.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's old school.
Okay, so is it just that he was taken over by another entity? Because that's not
it
really
was
a
doppelganger.
Say entity. That's
entity.
Nice. I like
he acted like him for a lot of the movie.
All right, go with it.
I'm going to go with it. Pass. Okay. I liked it, Adam.
What's your number three?
My number three? I've got a twist.
Uh-oh.
I've got a twist. Can I tell you my twist is?
Sure.
My twist is not. My twist is not necessarily people in films who look like each other. I'm going with doppelgangers, as in this actor looked just like the real person he's portraying.
Oh, wow.
You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
For example, let's go with Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln. Looked a lot like Lincoln.
He did. Looked a lot like
I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it. I went boldly into this. I'm going to change it up a bit.
You couldn't find three doppelgangers, could you?
I just couldn't find them.
I wasn't that ambitious.
Man, I had a hard time, too.
I like how you did that. That's really cool.
All right.
Now I'm trying to think of your... Number two and one.
Secrets. I think Hoffman's got to be in there.
I'm sure DiCaprio as Hoover's not going to make that list.
No,
probably not.
What about you, Savage?
One of the most
number
handsome
two.
Guys in the world playing one of the ugly
wait,
guys
wait, wait. Is it Hoodie's turn?
It's Hoodie's turn.
Hoodie, I'm sorry. Number two for you. What is it?
Sam Rockwell and Moon.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Okay. You have backups, Max. Don't
surprisingly good film. If you haven't
surprisingly,
seen it,
surprisingly, it's an awesome.
I have
film.
Not seen
no
it.
Surprise to
it's
it.
Awful wow. that I have not seen that film.
I like Sam Rockwell.
That's terrible. I feel like such a loser here. I've seen Adaptation or Moon. What about
no,
you, Savage?
Not that one.
Number two, since Hoodie stole my number two, I'll go Fight Club. I think that counts, right? If you're, it's a mental.
I thought about that.
Doppelganger.
Yeah, whatever.
Interessante.
Yeah. So Tyler Durden and the other dude.
He doesn't have a name in that film. He's just, they never give his name.
The protagonist.
The narrator.
Narrator, that's it.
Really?
Yeah, he never gives his name in that film. You don't think about that until you are told that. Yeah, he never
has. His boss never calls him anything?
He's never given a name in that film. Even in the book, that's based on he's never given a name.
Wow.
It's very strange.
I'm looking at the book right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Unread.
Uncracked.
What? Let's keep it going, Max. What's number two?
Number two, I'll go with the Prestige.
Okay, good.
So good.
That's
son
good.
Of a monkey.
And he had a bunch of them.
Spoiler.
Spoiler
alert.
Take
yeah.
it all
yeah,
mine.
That's a big spoiler alert. I guess so is movie.
Well, I guess they all are.
That's pretty good.
Our whole review of the movie we just watched was a total spoiler.
Right.
So, yeah. Just be careful there, folks.
Nicely done. Producer, we're up to number twos. What's yours?
I'm going to go with Mini-Me from Austin Powers.
That's a good answer.
That's funny.
That's good.
Mini-Me from Austin. Oh, okay. Yeah. What am I saying?
There it is.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Minnie Mouse. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mini-Me. That's a good answer.
That's a real good answer.
It's
not quite him, but it is him.
Well, it's a miniature him, so it's obviously not him, but it looks just like him. I like that.
Right.
Number two for me, I'm going to go Philip Seymour Hoffman Capote.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was looking at this. I thought, I want to see how much he looked like. He looked
dead up.
I mean, you couldn't tell. Even the voice.
It was creepy.
I remember hearing him on certain talk shows, Truman Capote, back in the day. I seen clip. Sounded like him. He deserved that award.
Mm-hmm.
Number ones. Are we on ones?
I suppose.
I think so, yeah.
You're damn right we are, Hoodie. So go ahead. We're talking about doppelgangers inspired by the one I love.
You will never see finer doppelganging than in Double Impact, JCVD.
Oh, really? Pulling that one out.
Does he fight himself?
The hell out of that.
Did he fight himself?
All the time. Yeah, that's all he did. Got his own girl, too.
His twins.
Sweet. Well, speaking of a man that likes to beat on himself quite a bit, that's what? James Hardsub Savage, number one.
Since y'all took all my other answers and I had a hard time with this, I'm going with this. You can doppelgang yourself, so I'm going with Total Recall, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Damn right.
Darn
that's a good answer.
Mm-hmm. That is a good answer.
So. That's a good one.
Yeah, we know that's a good answer. Max, what do you think? What do you think a good answer would be as a number one? I want to hear.
For me?
Yeah.
Time Cop.
Time Cop would be a good one.
Time Cop is good.
Surprised I didn't make your list. Yeah. But no, that's not my number one. My number one came down to two. I'm going to have to go with the double, the Jesse Eisenberg movie from last year.
Yeah.
It was either that or Enemy, but I really didn't understand Enemy. So I'm going to go with the double.
You could have had Devil's Double.
That double was on double. My list.
Double double.
Yeah.
But I know Mike would have thrown a fit if I'd have said that.
No, I should apologize. Yeah.
So I'm just going with the plain old The Double, which is on Netflix.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It's in the queue, but I haven't seen it.
This film was on Netflix. I think it still is. And I think this is a good answer for my number ones.
Mm-hmm.
I skipped Adam. Adam, I'm sorry. Can I just get my number one and then get to you and let you end it? I'm sorry. Skipped the Carpenters.
No.
I just got up
there. He's over this cube.
I know. You know my number one is characters playing characters who they look like? Val Kilmer as a Jim Morrison.
He really did.
Good job.
Oh, yes.
The Doors. The movie The Doors.
Really did.
That's my doppelganger.
Killed it.
He looked a lot like Jim Morrison.
That's a really good list.
Sounded like him, too.
I always thought Chevy Chase would have made a good Jim Morrison.
I think Pootie Tang would have made
a good Jim Morrison. Look at Chevy Chase's face when he was younger and put some long hair on him. He did look like him.
Well, you could have went with Robin Williams and Popeye.
Oh, that's right. We could have done worse doppelgangers.
Man. Oh, Robin Williams was great as Popeye.
Producer, number one, I want you to end it. I want you to stomp it in the head. I want you to tell me what it is. What is it?
I'm going with You Were There, and You Were There, and You Were There.
Yep.
Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
What?
Yes. That is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, her parents and stuff set up in the dream.
He's never seen the film. You know, Hoodie's never seen this movie.
I know.
She comes back to Kansas, and she realizes that the three farmhands are the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow.
Well, screw it up for me.
Spoiler alert.
Let me tell you something about that film. You should never have to apologize for talking about The Wizard of Oz. You should have seen this film. I'm not going to apologize for this.
Yeah. Adam, that borrow it?
That's almost as good as Max's train one from The Jerk. Remember that? The top
the train scenes? Yeah, the train one. Yeah. That was great.
That's still my favorite one.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So let's talk a little bit about Twitter shout-outs. You know, I put this out on social media. I always do. I'm just going to read a few of them off. Rohan Michael Morby at Rohan MM says, Enemy comes straight away, an adaptation. Two Nick Cages? What? First-time watchers, Parent Trap, Double Impact.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bloke Busters Podcast. Check this out, Michael Sheen and the Queen. Yeah, of course. what else we have on here? I have someone. At Bubble Wheat says the Great Muppet Caper.
Yeah, Kermit.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that
Why
is.
Why did I not think of that one?
Kermit
Muppet Caper. You never seen the Great Muppet Caper?
Kermit and Fozzie were identical twins.
And also the new Muppet movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Ah, I am so sorry.
Adam, check
Adam
this
literally
out.
Just apologized to his fan.
Joaquin Phoenix is Johnny Cash. He's going down my road,
that
isn't
was
he?
Awful though.
At AB Film Podcast at Predestination. So there you go. A little bit of a Twitter shout out. I liked it.
I like it a lot.
This episode feels hot.
Feels right.
Too hot to handle. Too cold to hold. Man.
I hear you, buddy.
They call me Ghostbusters, and I'm Inca. Never mind.
I don't think now.
next week's big reveal. You know what this goes to. Going over to the producer, greatest producer in the history of this Q film. As Adam the Bomb Rogers, what's next week's film going to be, Adam?
We mentioned this last week, but it was edited out of the show. And
we don't edit. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. Yeah. But, we're talking about half of y'all haven't seen this, and you really have to. Equilibrium.
I'm looking forward to that. Now, are you sure it's on Netflix, please, for the love of God?
Yes, it's on Netflix.
All right, so that's next week's film.
Right.
I've heard good things. I've been hearing good things. I can't wait to see it.
I heard things.
I've heard many good things about this film, not only from you, but I've heard it passed around a bit. So, what do you think, Savage?
You'll hate it.
I think you'll hate it too.
Tell you this way: if it says Takashi Miike in the credits,
it doesn't.
Well, if it says Takashi Miike, I'm going to turn right around and watch Devil's Double and love every second of it. Okay. But that's where this one ends.
Yeah.
As always, thanks for tuning into the queue. If you want to leave your thoughts on this film that we reviewed, or leave your review of our review. I don't care. You go to the QFilmcast.net. Yeah, you go there, QFilmcast.net. So that's next week, Equilibrium. So until then, however it is you say, good night.
My, oh my, walking by, who's the apple of my eye? Why, it's my very own Clooney. Oh, if I should stroll the hood, who knew I could look so good just talking on the phone?